You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 453 of Locked On Raptors for Monday, January 21st. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. You can find links to every single episode. And, of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network with team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. We've got Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. We've got Locked On NBA with David Locke and a bunch of different hosts from across the network doing that daily. We've got weekly contributions from Ben Golliver and Sam Amick. We've got the Locked On NFL shows. We've got Locked On College shows. Just an endless amount of stuff for you to check out on the Locked On Podcast Network. So make sure you're finding a show, a team that you like, that you care about. And if you find a host that you support and want to support, please make sure you're subscribing, rating, and reviewing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, whatever, all the places you get your podcasts. It's very, very helpful if you do that. Good for rankings and algorithms and making us more discoverable and all those other flashy podcasty words. So thank you very much for doing that. We have lots of rankings on the Locked On Raptors page, and I appreciate every single one of them, and I appreciate every single one to come as well, because you're all good people. I'm sure you'll give me some more in the future, too. All right, let's get to today's show. On today's show, it's a conversation with myself and Keith Parrish, who is the host of Fast Break Breakfast, a fantastic NBA podcast. I'm sure you listen to it if you listen to this podcast. If not, go subscribe to it and listen to that. It's great. They have a Patreon page as well if you want to subscribe to that. It's a really good podcast. It's funny, and we did a little crossover episode. You'll hear me on the Fast Break Breakfast feed. You will also hear Keith on this podcast. We talked about a little bit of the Grizzlies-Raptors game from Saturday, but mostly just sort of the grander state of the Raptors and Grizzlies. We talked about the Kawhi Leonard resting stuff. We talked about Eric Kareen's great piece today for The Athletic, talking about the strange balancing act the Raptors are kind of negotiating right now with Kawhi and resting and all of that stuff. Good chat with myself and Keith. We talked about Bruno Caboclo, of course, the newest Memphis Grizzly. It's delightful. It's beautiful. And we talked about our sweet, beautiful Brazilian boy. And also some fun end of podcast James or Naismith Cup trivia, which was fun. So I'll get to the conversation with myself and Keith right now. But first, I want to remind everybody to make sure you are checking out your Locked On podcast on your smart speakers. If you got a smart speaker over the holidays, like I did, I got two of them. You can play the Locked On Podcast Network, any podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network on your smart speaker. Just say the name of your smart speaker and then say play whatever podcast you want to play, and it will play it for you. You never have to touch a single button, and it's just going to play while you do your chores, while you clean, while you just hang around, while you watch basketball games on mute and listen to podcasts instead. That's a good life hack right there. Most broadcast teams are bad. Make sure you listen to the podcast instead of the broadcast on most games. All right, so that's my spiel on that. Make sure you're checking it out on your smart speakers. It's always very helpful, and we're trying to push that pretty hard here. So that's all my spiel. We're going to get to it now. We'll have a quick break on the other side. We will come back with myself and Keith Parrish of Fast Break Breakfast to talk Raps, Grizzlies, Bruno, and so much more. All right, talk to you soon. All right, it's Sean Woodley here from Locked On Raptors, joined by Keith Parrish of Fast Break Breakfast. Keith, how are you, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Sean, and I got to say, I'm stealing this interview for my own show, so welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, Sean Woodley, the host of Locked On Raptors.
Thank you for having me on your podcast. This is just a perfect connection between two people who were desperately looking to find someone to do a podcast with today. We both needed one up, and it happened to be a perfect match. So here we go. The Raptors played the Grizzlies on Saturday. I guess that's kind of the reason to tee all this off, is because you're a Grizzlies guy. I'm a Raptors guy. There's some stuff. There's some shared history between these two teams, I guess. Naismith Cups and all the like back before the Grizzlies moved.
Right, yeah.
But they're in extremely different positions now, and then I guess that was illustrated by the game on Saturday where the Raptors won by 29 and didn't even have to play Kawhi Leonard. And All right, this is where I want to start, because there was a piece written today by Eric Kareen of The Athletic, very good columnist. Subscribe to The Athletic if you have the means. It's great, and Eric's like almost worth the subscription alone. He wrote about Kawhi and the resting, and he sat out a game against the Grizzlies that was not on a back-to-back. That's the first time he's done that this season. He's mostly just sat out the second halves of back-to-backs, so the first half of back-to-backs, depending on matchups and all this stuff. And, you know, it was a little curious. There was obviously the easy jokes made. It was like minus 30 in Toronto that day, and the jokes were just like, oh yeah, Kawhi, stay at home, buddy. You don't got to come for this one. Don't even look outside. In all part of the recruitment effort. I didn't actually catch the game live. I don't know if he was on the bench or not. I know he was there for the Suns game on Thursday. But, like, Eric's piece talked a lot about how, you know, it's just, it's a little weird. It's a little icky with the way the Raptors are kind of dealing with Kawhi and kind of putting him on like this sort of separate trajectory than everyone else. You got Fred VanVleet, who's like icing his back every time he's not on the court. You got Kyle Lowry playing 40 minutes after playing 50 minutes in an overtime game earlier this week. And on Thursday, he was supposed to rest and he didn't. And, like, you know, it's been a little weird that Kawhi has kind of had this preferential treatment. Or is it weird at all? I don't know. I guess this is the kind of the question that I want to throw to you, Keith, because, you know, Raptors fans, I think, have kind of accepted that this is part of the deal and all part of the pitch to Kawhi. I'm just kind of curious what the exterior opinion is of it because, you know, I guess it's one of two things. It's like, yeah, obviously they're doing that. It's Kawhi Leonard. Or like, wow, they look pathetic and thirsty and this isn't going to work anyway. How are you viewing all of this as an outsider?
All right. A lot of stuff. Let me go back to the start.
Yeah.
First of all, you said, you know, we were desperate to put up a show. I'm just going to point out, not desperate. But if we could do one interview and have that be my show, that's better than doing my show and your show. That's
okay, I was desperate. Let's say that. Okay. I was desperate.
There you go. I'm like, well, this is now I can just do this for my show. Also, let's see. Is it weird? No. Okay. I don't think it's weird at all. It seems perfect. It seems like a guy in his, you know, he's an expiring free agent or on an expiring contract. They're trying to woo him to this city. He came with baggage. Mm-hmm. You have to admit, I guess there is weird stuff when you look at that history from him with the Spurs and all that stuff about like maybe the Spurs didn't treat him the way that he and his business associates wanted to be treated. So maybe they're bending over a little bit too far. Maybe that part's weird. From a national perspective, from me sitting at my home in Tennessee watching, no, I don't think it's weird at all. It makes sense. One, because the Raptors are great even when he doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not costing themselves anything by having him sit. I thought those jokes of him not playing over the weekend in Toronto when you said it was minus 30, I think that's Celsius, but
that's the cold point where Celsius and Fahrenheit kind of meet, which is
it's on a meetup. Okay, but yeah. Still, it was really cold. I thought those jokes were hilarious. where it was like the Toronto, you know, forecast is in like the negative teens as far as my weather app, and they're like, yeah, Kawhi, just go to LA. That's cool. Like, we're good. Suns, Grizzlies, dude, we got this. Mm-hmm. We don't need you. So no, I don't think it's weird at all. And I think it's, I don't know, I almost feel like you're fishing for stuff if you're worried about it as a Raptors fan. I'm currently living in a house that's burning down as a Grizzlies fan, and you are eating, you know, fancy crepes on your fancy couch and being like, oh, is it bad that we're 20 games over 500 and we're letting this guy not play all the time? Come on.
Yeah.
Don't treat everyone the same. Fred VanVleet is not Kawhi Leonard. You don't have to treat them the same. This is the problem with the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are some weird, like, hey, everybody can shoot 10 times. You're like, no. No, it's horrible. It's horrible. They run plays for good players and not, it's a mess. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Eric, before you retort.
Yeah.
I do have to get this out of way for my business end.
Yeah.
I always ask my guest about their breakfast.
Oh, right.
So did you have a breakfast today?
Yeah. So my side job requires me to go outside for long periods of time. And it was, again,
you have a side job besides podcasting?
Yeah. You know, it's close to being a lucrative enough business, but just like 4 or 5 days worth of work a week away
right,
from
yeah.
that. Yeah.
A little podcast humor for the Locked On feed.
So yeah, I like my job requires me to go to the outdoors. It also requires me to drive a very long distance. And so I'm not at my car. I try to eat like a light breakfast because I'm not really near anything. Like I'm just like, you know, I just want to stay light, streamlined. So today I only had a meat stick thing. That was my breakfast today.
It was like street meat?
No. It was like it's funny. There's this like company that just launched in my hometown, and the guy who runs it, his wife is a teacher at the school at which my girlfriend teaches. So they gave like a bunch of these like meat sticks, just like beef jerky, but like fancy beef jerky.
Okay, like jerky?
Yeah, like fancier, sort of like heartier beef jerky in stick form. They just gave like 1,000 of these to their school, and then my girlfriend like pilfered the closet and brought a bunch home for me, which was nice of her. So I had that for breakfast. It was not very nourishing or tasty, but it was filling, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. No, wait, is this jerky in the shape of a stick, or is there an actual stick like a corn dog, and this is meat on a stick?
No, no, no. There's no stick attached to the meat. The meat is the stick. It's more like a slab, I suppose. It's not
There's the title for my feed. The meat is the stick. Okay.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to describe. Like, remember, like. Fruit
like
to go? Do you know Fruit to go?
Do you have a Slim Jim in Toronto?
We don't have Slim Jims, but I think it's kind of along the line of that. have you ever had a Fruit to go? Did you ever have those? There's that like a weird Canadian snack as well.
I don't know what that is. No.
Okay. Well, it was like these little like rectangular, just like ironed out grapes, essentially that would be
that
passed
like
off.
A fruit roll up.
Yeah,
fruit
but roll-ups? We also had Fruit Loaves. This was like the healthy version of that, I guess.
Oh, I guess.
But this is that, but meat, and yeah, that was my breakfast. It was not great.
That's a good breakfast. Well, we had to get that out of the way. All right.
No, I appreciate it. And I'm honored to be asked about it.
Yeah. So where were you on the Kawhi's weird? Do you think it's weird? Do you think Eric Kareem should worry less?
No, I don't think Eric was worrying, by the way. I think it was a very well-balanced article. He's got, you know, quotes from, you know, Fred VanVleet, Danny Green about it and all that stuff. He was just pointing out that it is a little bit weird that he's kind of on this pedestal. And, like, that's fair. But, yeah, I'm not worried. Also, if you're a Raptors fan and you're looking at the schedule and you see that Kawhi sat last Thursday and Saturday, there's a back-to-back coming up this week against the Kings and Pacers, and I think it's kind of gearing up for Kawhi to make his first back-to-back appearance this season in those two games. So this might actually be a good thing in the long run, that they were just kind of like giving him a little bit more leeway against a bad team leading up. Sorry, the Grizzlies are very bad.
not great.
Yeah, leading into this like kind of difficult week. So yeah, I'm not worried about it. It's all a long game, and you know, maybe Kawhi is a bit of a hypochondriac. I think I kind of get that sense. And if you want to convince him to stick around, you should definitely give in to his hypochondriac tendencies, I think, and like appreciate them and not get weirded out or like not dismiss them as him being weird about his body. Like, he obviously cares about this stuff. And I don't see any problem with it whatsoever. And again, they're winning all the time when he doesn't play. So, I'm with you. I don't think it's that weird.
He's not doing any of that, like, day of the game or, like, an hour before the game. Being like, guys, you know what? I'm not going to go tonight. Mm-hmm. Aren't all of these absences, because I know I don't watch every Raptors game, aren't all these absences pretty well planned ahead of time? Like, none of them have been surprising, right?
Yeah, aside from that Memphis one, you could pretty much circle when he was not going to play. So,
yeah.
So you're right.
It just seems like this is the modern NBA. Like, all these teams have these load managements kind of built in for some of their stars, and some of their stars maybe with more concerning histories. And so I don't think it's a big deal. So I feel like the Raptors are actually, you know, managing this season incredibly. The on-the-court product is amazing. Mm-hmm. When he doesn't play, it gives guys like Pascal Siakam a chance to really shine. And it seems like, again, from my outside perspective, things are going perfect.
Yeah, I guess the one thing that, like, Eric mentioned this too, like, if he ends up leaving and he just used this season as, like, a springboard to, like, boost his value before he became a free agent again, like, maybe they'll look kind of stupid in hindsight, but I also don't really agree with that. I think, like,
that's no way to live your life.
Yeah, like, they put in their due diligence and did everything they could this year, and if it doesn't work out, like, hey, you gave it your best shot, and, like, this was part of the deal anyway when you traded for him and you knew that, so, yeah.
I think if you know, a superstar wants to come bless you with an incredible season and a playoff run, I think you take that.
Yeah.
I don't think you were worried about the future of how he was using it to launch himself into something else.
Mm-hmm. Either way, read the Eric's piece. It's very good. And I probably didn't do it justice talking about it. It's not one-sided by any means. It's very balanced and good.
Can I ask you, Eric, as a Raptors fan, as someone whose the team is going pretty well,
mm-hmm.
What are your worries right now outside of this like drummed up controversy about Kawhi missing games? Are you worried about a certain matchup? Like what maybe keeps you up at night while you have this comfortable lead? Or I guess you're trying to chase down the Bucks, but still.
Yeah.
Like what worries a Raptors fan right now when you're looking at the big picture of this season?
Number one is the weird math at the top of the conference. I just want the Bucks and Raptors to have played the same number of games, so I don't have to deal with this like the better win percentage, but the Raptors are a game and a half ahead thing. That's my biggest concern right now is my brain. But other than that,
first world NBA problems.
Other than that, it's just like they haven't been healthy at all, and they've had one game this season where they've had everybody available, like everyone that you'd want available. And like I know every team deals with injuries, but it just feels like the Raptors have like every time they kind of get healthy, someone gets hurt again. And now like Fred VanVleet's dealing with weird back stuff, and like he's already got like problems of an old man. And like Kyle Lowry has not been awesome. He was a plus 38 against the Grizzlies, so that's cool. But like his shooting has been off. Everything else has been good. He's like doing Kyle Lowry things. He's taking charges. He's like setting dudes up and passing like prime Steve Nash. That's all great. But he can't hit a shot to save it. I think he's at like 31% from three on the season at this point, which is bizarre considering he's been at like 40 for the last 4 or 5 years, if I recall correctly. So yeah, that's not great, and you want to see that come back around. And then like the bench, I guess, is the other thing. It's just they haven't had anyone healthy all season, so they've never had a bench the way they had one last year. It was like the same five guys played together for like 500 minutes. That just hasn't happened, and it's just, you know, in weird fits. Greg Monroe's playing a lot lately with Jonas Valanciunas out. Patrick McCaw played 18 minutes against the Grizzlies. He's bad. It's just kind of, and like CJ Miles, until the last couple of games, has been like completely off the map this season too, so they haven't had any sort of continuity there. And I think once Jonas gets back, they'll be okay from that perspective, and like the playoffs come around, and we all, like, the bench was so vaunted last season, and it was like, oh, look how great this bench is, and then they got slaughtered at the playoffs and weren't very effective. Whereas, like, the starters are kind of foolproof, and I think in the playoffs that'll come through, and they've played games this season where they've played, like, the 26 to 30 minutes together and have completely killed teams. And, you know, that's the thing, too, is the starters are so good, and they're so versatile, and, like, Pascal Siakam has been so amazing this season that none of the matchups really worry me all that much. The Raptors have been pretty good. Mm-hmm. Even though they're 1-2 against Boston and Milwaukee, one of the Milwaukee losses was weird where neither Kawhi or Giannis played. I don't really count that game at all. There was another one where the Raptors should have won it, except Kyle Lowry was like 0-for-10 from the field and scored 0 points. And like other than that, they kind of were the better team. They just kind of lost it at the end with a little extra juice. They would have had it. And like Boston, yeah, they beat him in that like crazy performative, hey, we're back game from Boston last week, but that's a very Boston game for this Celtics team to win. And I don't really like the Raptors starter still like killed Boston in that game. They were like a plus 20 net rating in like 26 minutes. So I think once they have their full complement of like really good players, they're just kind of a pretty good matchup for anybody. And that's not really a concern. It's just health right now, right? Like that's kind of it for me. Is there something like that you see from this Raptors team that you kind of look as a red flag?
No, I mean, honestly, I haven't paid close attention to them because one, they're really good. And that like isn't my most interesting thing. Mm-hmm. I like watching bad teams. Not always by choice, but if I see the Raptors are winning, I'm like, hey, they're good. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'll turn on, like, I was like, oh, Magic and Hornets are playing. Well, that's like what gets me excited. So no, like I haven't seen enough of the Raptors to definitely be worried about them. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always like, wow, it's kind of weird how good Pascal Siakam is. It doesn't seem fair that they just got this guy. You know, just didn't have to win a lottery, didn't have to do anything. Like, they just, this guy is now awesome, and you have him.
Grizzlies win. Connection on that one. I remember being, like, kind of mad they took Siakam instead of Deontay Davis.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Grizzlies used a lot of draft capital to acquire Deontay Davis.
Yeah, I'm dumb is what that says. I was like, oh, man, I want Scal or Deontay Davis with this pick, and they took Siakam, and I was like, At that point, like, Masai had built up enough confidence that I was okay with it in, like, 2 days. But I remember being, like, sort of mad. Mad as I was when they took Valanciunas over Brandon Knight.
Well, so Masai does have, like, a pretty good track record. Mm-hmm. One of the ones that maybe wasn't a hint that we should talk about is Bruno Caboclo.
Hell yeah!
Now a Memphis Grizzly. How excited should I be? I'm pretty excited. It's like the only good thing that's happened in a while for the Grizzlies, who are falling apart.
Well, yeah, it's like their fourth best player now, so that's good.
You're joking, but it's true. he's easily in the upper, I assume. Having not seen him play, I think, was he on the Grand Vipers?
Yeah.
I didn't see him play in the G League, but Yeah, I would say he's definitely better than five or six guys on the Grizzlies right now.
I mean, put it this way. He probably has the second highest upside of anyone on the Grizzlies right now behind Jaren Jackson Jr.
That is probably true.
Which, like, hard.
We have fellow Canadian God. Dylan Brooks, who yeah. is out for the season.
Yeah.
I don't think his ceiling is super high. I'm pretty excited about Caboclo. How do you think he's going to fit in? Can he play the three? I know he's supposed to be a stretch four in the new NBA, but the Grizzlies actually have front court players. They don't have other players.
Yeah, I don't really know what he's done since the Raptors traded him for Malachi Richardson last year. I know he got, like, I think he had a game where he had, like, 10 points for the Kings, and I watched a bit of that, and it was pretty cool. He was drafted as a three. Things have kind of changed since he was drafted 2 years away from 2 years away ago. But, like...
That was 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, I get... Well, 20... Yeah.
Was it?
He was, like, 2014 draft, I think. So,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so it's a year after.
It's his fifth season. He should be not away anymore. Which he's been, like, killing it in the G League. And that's kind of always been his thing. He's always been really good in the G League. I think he won... Or he didn't win G League Finals MVP when they won the title. That was Pascal Siakam. But he did have 31 points in the title-clinching game and, like, three blocks or something crazy like that. He hit, like, six threes. It was great. I remember that game was going on while the Raptors were playing the Bucks in Game 6. So that was kind of fun to keep tabs on. But the... yeah, Bruno's really fun. He's, like, a kind of weird character, and his Instagram is always enjoyable, and he's got, like, just kind of... He seems like he's living his best life. Let me put it that way. I remember there was once an Instagram of like him and Lucas Nogueira in a McDonald's having a good time.
Oh, okay, good. When you said he's living his best life, I was like, we've had some trouble with that as Grizzlies. Chandler Parsons living his best life. But then you said McDonald's. I was like, oh.
No, it's more of a wholesome best life. Yeah.
A wholesome, innocent fun.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I think he might also have a kid. No, that's Bebe. Never mind. I don't think he has a kid. I think he's probably like the godfather to Bebe's kid.
Where's Bebe Nogueira? I'd rather have him than Joakim Noah.
He's in Spain now. He's playing.
Yeah, I'd much rather have that guy.
Yeah, Bruno's fun. He's when he does do things, it's like, oh, hey, that's interesting. And when you see him, I don't know if you ever go to games in person or not, because you're in Nashville, right? So
yeah, I only go to like a couple games a year, and yeah. I've been going to less and less.
Yeah,
as they keep losing.
I've never seen a person in person who's more just like staggering to look at. His arms are past his knees. he's a freaky looking dude. But like, I don't know. I always have fond memories of him. I went to the game. This is maybe just like a Raptors fan sort of like game that everyone kind of fixates on that no one else even knows happened. But this happened in the 2014-15 season. It was like the first month of the year. The Raptors were like 10-2. They were killing everybody at that point. And they took on the Bucks, and they beat the Bucks by like 45. And Bruno had yet to play a game yet. And at the start of the second half, the Raptors were up like 30, 35. And for the entire third quarter, the entire arena was chanting Bruno in place of defense when the Raptors were playing on D. And eventually he came into the fourth quarter. He had 8 points. He threw down an alley-oop dunk for his first career bucket and hit two threes. One of them was a pull-up, and everyone was like, oh my God, what's happening here? Landry Fields also hit a three in that quarter, which, again, one of the most remarkable things to ever happen. and that's always kind of been – that was his peak, really, and that was like 2 weeks into his career. But no, he's like – the upside is there. I think he's kind of figuring it out. He did get sent home from the Brazilian national team, I think, over the summer or the summer before because he was mad that he got benched or something. He might think he's better than he actually is, but he's like – when he does stuff, it looks really cool. And when he doesn't do stuff, he's just kind of harmless. So I guess like for a tanking team, if that's what the Grizzlies are now, that's kind of like a perfect tanking player because – you know, he's not going to help you win games per se, but when he does contribute, it'll look fun and cool.
I don't think the Grizzlies are even tanking yet. I mean, right now that the Grizzlies are at their nadir, hopefully, the schedule has been very tough.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I mentioned Dylan Brooks, who's out for the season. Kyle Anderson, who is their probably third best player, or fourth, I guess, if you think Jaren Jackson Jr. is always, you know, good, along with Mark and Mike. Him being injured was like a death blow of, like, this team really do anything without him. So I still don't think they're tanking. I think we're trying to finish exactly ninth worst Like, we want to be ninth worst, so we have a 20% chance of jumping into the top four.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the pick goes to Boston, and we're fine with it. So I think I think your most informed Grizzlies fans right now are pulling for ninth worst record.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be like I know nothing about the draft. This is supposed to be a bad draft, right? Like, after the top couple guys.
I also know nothing about the draft. Okay. But I just figure, if you can pick top four, that seems good.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that Kenyon Martin year or the Mike Miller year. Or it was just a terrible draft. But you assume top four is good. But I guess the problem now in Grizzlies land, the front office, I think, has always been a bit overmatched and not good. And now I think J.B. Bickerstaff might be the worst coach in the NBA. I think he's definitely the worst coach the Grizzlies have ever had.
Huh.
He has no idea what he's doing. Which, if you go back ever and watch that Raptors game, they do the same thing every game and lose in the same way. Like, they take out Mike Conley 6 minutes into the first and third quarters every game. And I don't know if it's a health issue for Mike Conley. Like, originally it was like, oh, this makes sense. Sorry, they're going to bring Mike Conley in, to help the second unit, the start of the second. But the Grizzlies have been getting obliterated in the second halves of first quarters and third quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And they've lost 23 of 30 or so, they've lost like 14 of 15. At some point you would stop doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you should really stop taking out Mike Conley. So in the Raptors game, the same thing. Like they put in Shelvin Mack with 8 minutes to go in the third, and then the Raptors went on I think it was a 50-14 run or a 47-14 run. It was crazy, but it's the same thing every time. They put in Shelvin Mack at the two or the one and everything falls apart. But so that being said, I don't think the Grizzlies are tanking yet, although it's getting very, very close. But they're also about to hit this point where it might get hard to catch the ninth worst team, mm-hmm. as they are currently like the 12th worst team. Like, it's like they're or if I'm saying that confusingly, they're like four games away from where they want to be, and I'm not sure they can catch them,
right.
Unless those other teams decide they want to lose on purpose. So, I mean, truth be told, I am kind of excited to look forward to the Grizzlies try to finish exactly ninth from the bottom. I guess that's exactly 21st. We want to be, I guess, yeah. So that seems fun, but no, things are weird. Maybe we are tanking. Maybe Bruno will be fun in that tank.
I guess
I do want to ask you, Eric, as I wrap up.
My name is Sean, Keith. Come on.
Oh,
dude.
Sean. I'm sorry. I was thinking Eric Dean.
Eric is my brother.
Yeah.
I do, actually. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry, Sean.
That's okay.
This is what I get for scrolling through game logs while I speak.
That's fine. It was my fault for bringing up Eric Kareen.
Yeah.
The dastardly Eric Kareen.
That guy. No, Sean, do the Raptors have any plans to make a trade? Because their team has looked really, really good. But are there any things they're looking to upgrade? Specifically, would they be interested in a Marc Gasol?
I don't think they need center Kyle Lowry. I think they're set with just point guard Kyle Lowry. I think Gasol is probably a little bit too big of a fish. And the thing about the Raptors is they don't have a ton to trade. They don't have their pick this year because they traded it for Kawhi, which you're fine with. I'm not upset right. about that by any
that
means.
Worked out.
That makes it a little more difficult to maneuver this season, though. They have like some guys that maybe you'd like to consolidate, and I think some people have kind of talked about this, like, oh, they should trade DeLon Wright and like Norman Powell or something to try to get something. And it's like, hey, DeLon's had a very bad season, and I don't really think he's kind of at anywhere near the peak of his value. He's going into restricted free agency. Like, you're not going to get much back for him, I don't think. And then there's just like nothing that sexy. No one wants CJ Miles because he's got a player option for next year. And like I said, he's been in the weeds all season long until like this past week. And he doesn't play defense very well. He's a lovely person, just not very good at defense or shooting, as it turns out, this season, which is kind of his whole thing. And then like Norm has actually kind of showed some nice flashes lately. And he's also signed for 3 more years beyond this one at like $10 million a year. So I'm not sure any team's going to be like jumping all over that and giving you something exciting in return. So, no, I don't really think there's all that much. This is probably going to be like a buyout market team. The other way that I could see them making a move, but like I don't think any of these players are going to be available, is like they try to go super duper all in as opposed to the all in that they're already kind of in right now. And like maybe if like Bradley Beal became available, maybe they try to swindle Bradley Beal away from the Wizards. But like again, I don't know what they deal there. Like, OG Anunoby would have to be in that deal. You probably have to put Siakam in there, which if you do that, like, do you even want to do that deal at that point? Because he's been so important to you this season. So I don't think there's going to be a deal. I don't really think there has to be a deal. Some people, like, after the Celtics lost, that was, like, sort of the turning point that opened trade mania for everybody over the next couple weeks in Raptorsville. And it was like, oh, what do we got to do? We got to get this guy. And it's like, eh, they're pretty good. They're 35-13. And, like, they haven't been healthy at all this season. And, like, Kyle and Kawhi went, like, a whole month without playing with each other because they were hurt at different times. So they're probably a little bit better than what they are right now at 35-13, which is crazy to say, but it's probably true. And, yeah, so, probably like a depth big in case things get weird with Ibaka or Valanciunas. Like, I think I trust them both to be good, but, you know, there's certain matchups they might not be awesome in, especially if one's hurt. You know, they could kind of be exposed there. But even then, just play Siakam at five, and I think you're good. Gasol was like a thing last year. I was really into the idea of the Raptors dealing for Gasol last year. Like, Valanciunas was like, yeah, go deal Valanciunas for him. I'm not sure Valanciunas is, like, all that much worse than Gasol at this point, though. Like, I don't know if that's, like, a notable upgrade.
So I'm a believer that Marc Gasol needs to have the invigorating, fresh breath of a winning culture put back into him.
Fair enough.
I mean, he started the year incredibly. You know, he's playing some of the best ball of his career, honestly, for the first month of the season, with those first 17 games. But I feel like just the toxic – I mean, and some people blame him, especially Grizzlies fans blame him for what feels like a toxic culture or negative atmosphere around the Grizzlies right now. But I think nonstop lack of competence from the front office and coaching staff has got to wear on him. I kind of want to see him go somewhere else where he gets to be the third or fourth or fifth option again and be incredible in that role. But again, I saw Raptors like ideas, rumors, but I can't come up with a trade that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Jonas Valanciunas, CJ Miles, and OG Anunoby, and like a second round pick maybe. I mean, honestly, that would, if you knew Marc Gasol would opt out if you asked him next year, that actually might be worth a little bit more to the Raptors to sweeten it with a pick or like a nicer pick. Because if you get off of CJ Miles and Jonas Valanciunas' money for next year, that might be enticing to the Raptors. But I'm saying I love Marc Gasol, and I'm not eager to trade him, but I'd have to consider if something comes up. But I do, if he goes to another team, it won't surprise me at all if he becomes reinvigorated again. And we're like, oh yeah, Mark is awesome.
Yeah, because he was awesome at the start of the year when they were good and like winning games. And I don't know, I guess my question with him is like, is his health all in order? Because like, again, the Raptors are already dealing with Kyle Lowry, who is kind of getting into his 30s, and he's still very good and effective, but his health could go at any time. And I guess that's the concern with Gasol as well. And I don't know if like, you bring in Gasol, you're already dealing with trying to woo Kawhi to make him stick around long term. That might just be a little bit too much of chemistry and uncertainty to kind of juggle in my brain.
Sure.
And like Valanciunas, man, he's been insanely good this season when he's played. Like he's putting up like I think like 27-16 per 36. He's been absurd when he's played. And the way him and Ibaka have worked together, like maybe you could improve on that with Gasol. Just in terms of just like overall talent, but the way they've worked together, just sort of both playing center back and forth, like I'm not sure you could sell Gasol on coming off the bench at any point, but Ibaka is obviously better playing as a center and he's great with the starters, so that'd be a difficult thing to work in as well. Valanciunas seems cool with playing center as a backup and playing 18 to 22 minutes a game, and like that's been a really difficult bit of juggling, I think, of egos for Nick Nurse that he's been successful with. And that might jeopardize it all if you were to deal Valanciunas for Gasol and just throw that whole thing out of whack. So I am kind of cold on the idea. Again, last year I was all for it. I was like, get me Marc Gasol this minute. Give up everything. Give up all the stuff we would have traded for Kawhi Leonard. but not so much anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, that completely makes sense.
Any other stray thoughts? Raptors, Grizzlies, Vancouver related before we wrap this thing up?
No, man. I wasn't a Grizzlies fan until they announced their move to Memphis. Because I was living in Nashville. I was technically at college at Florida State. But when the Vancouver Grizzlies announced they were moving to Memphis, I was like an NBA agnostic with no real team. And I was like, oh, They're coming to Tennessee. Now I'll cheer for that team. That'll be my team.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I have no memories of the Naismith Cup years of the Vancouver versus Toronto.
Do you know who the current title holder of the Naismith Cup is?
Is that the last team that won? How does it work? Or is it like a?
It was okay. It's a trick question. It's my favorite Raptors trivia question. So the Naismith Cup, for people who don't know, was a game played between the Grizzlies and Raptors every year. This is the regular season game, and the winner would hold the Naismith Cup, and that was great. And the Raptors, I think, won it most years. I think the Grizzlies won it a couple times as well. But then when the Grizzlies moved, they started doing this thing where the Naismith Cup was between the Raptors and like a European team. And the last one was held, I believe, in 2005. And it was won by Maccabi Tel Aviv on an Anthony Parker three-pointer. And Anthony Parker then signed with the Raptors the following offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. He destroyed the Raptors, took the Naismith Cup, and then got a deal out of it. And then he is still, I guess, one of the defending holders of the Naismith Cup. It has not been played since, which is, again, one of my favorite bits of Raptors trivia.
Well, that was a fun bit of trivia. Hopefully the Grizzlies don't end up back in Vancouver after this multi-year slide continues.
No, that'll be the Pelicans.
Yeah.
or probably the Pelicans. Yeah, I feel so bad for them, man. God. Did they at least win today? They beat Memphis today, right?
They beat Memphis today, yeah.
Okay,
they beat
Memphis behind
Jahlil Okafor's 20-10.
That's a low point for Memphis, no?
No, the Grizzlies have conceded like a 20-something point run in now four consecutive games. Like the Pelicans went on a late third quarter, early fourth quarter, 20-5 run.
Oh my God.
In this one. And again, the Grizzlies scored 85 points against the Pelicans, who average 116 points per game. That's the lowest score the Pelicans have allowed this season, next to the 95 points that the Memphis Grizzlies scored against them the last time they played 2 weeks ago. Yeah, no, things are bad. We should be done because I'm sad.
All right, well, we can wrap it there, Keith. Man, thank you so much for taking part in this Locked On Raptors Fast Break Breakfast crossover. I always have the hardest time saying your podcast name. It's really hard.
It's really hard to say out loud if you don't practice it. Like,
yeah.
You don't understand it's going to be hard to say out loud until someone's like, and that's Keith from Fast Break Breakfast. Yeah, it's hard. You didn't know it was going to be hard. It doesn't look hard. It's simple words, but it is kind of tricky to say.
Well, I think this is the reason why I think now it makes sense to me that when you intro your podcast, you kind of have this like staccato that you intro it with, and I like it a lot. I think it's very good stylistically.
Thanks.
But I think was it born out of the difficulty of saying the name of the podcast quickly?
I don't know. I just think when we were discussing the name, the first night at the bar, we were like coming up with a name. We're like, yeah, that's definitely the name. We should go with that. And we said it a few times. We're like, that does not roll off the tongue. Like that. Somehow it just sticks there. But then I guess we got over it kind of quick. Yeah. Well, Sean, thanks for having me on Locked On Raptors. Really appreciate it.
Of course, man. Make sure you're checking out both of our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you get your podcasts. I'm on Twitter at Woodley Sean. Keith, you're just at Fast Break Break. Is that?
Fast Break Break.
All right. All right, man. This was fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.